You may have wondered when I announced in the bulletin why we would have a lesson dealing with parenting when we do not have a lot of young people and children in the congregation. We do appreciate the young people that are here, and I appreciate those of you that are parents who are in the process of rearing your children now. I do think, though, that even though we may not have a lot of young people, that we constantly need to be concerned about what is involved with parents in rearing their children. Many of us that are here tonight are grandparents. And although we have to be careful sometimes that we don't interfere more than we should, there is a responsibility that we have in helping to rear our grandchildren. There are times that we have them with us specifically and have an opportunity to teach. And there are times that I think we ought to seize on to encourage our grandchildren to respect our children as their parents. Grandparents can be a negative or they can be a positive in helping parents to rear their children. And then in addition to that, many of the things, such as what we will be studying tonight, that have to do with being a good parent, also have to do with being a good Christian. And so there are lessons for us to learn, even though I really wish I had an opportunity to present this lesson tonight to a gathering of all the parents in Jackson that are rearing preschool and school children today. I'd like to be able to present this lesson to all of them. But I want you, if you have your Bible, to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And the one that we're talking about tonight, that we've entitled the lesson, "If I Could Parent Again," is Eli. Eli came just before Samuel in the history of the Judges. In fact, Eli was the one who was there when Samuel's mother was concerned about not being able to have a child. And through Eli, she was blessed so that she was able to have a child who was Samuel. And Eli is the one that she took Samuel to when he was weaned, you remember, and she dedicated him to the Lord, and he lived with Eli for a long time. So Eli was a very important person. In fact, I want you to look first at chapter 1 and verse 9, which says in the latter part of that verse, "Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord." Eli was a priest. But then go to the fourth chapter and look at verse 18. And the last sentence in that verse, talking about Eli, "He had judged Israel 40 years. We're talking about a man that we would describe as a man of God. He was a priest, which means that he was involved in being a go-between the children of Israel and God at that time. That was the work of a priest. And he was a judge, one of the many judges that God had during that part of his history. So first, get in your mind the man that we're talking about. This is a man of God. And as far as his own personal life was concerned, he seems to have been a godly man. But I want you to follow with me as I read several verses of Scripture, or several verses from the Scriptures here. First of all, we have in the beginning of the chapter, at verse 3, his two sons identified, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord. Notice they were his sons, and they were also called priest, perhaps having received that in somewhat of an inheritance form according to the law of Moses. But notice that Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Go to the second chapter And in the second chapter, look at verse 12. The sons of Eli were sons of Belial. My version says, you may be reading a version that says worthless, reckless, or lawless. They knew not the Lord. Now, do you hear what that's saying based upon and remembering what we just said? They were priests, the sons of a priest and a judge. And yet they knew not the Lord. Look at verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They were supposed to be involved as priests, maybe in the offerings, and yet the indication is that not only they, but those that they were serving, hated the idea of offering to the Lord. This is Hophni and Phinehas. Look at the 22nd verse. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's describing the prostitutes of that time. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all the people. These are Eli's sons. Eli, a priest and a judge. Look at verse 25. Notwithstanding, the last part of the verse, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Notice, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father. Look at verse 34. He says, this shall be a sign unto thee that thou shalt, that shall come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. Even predicted that they were going to die. Look at the third chapter, verse 13, which is the one verse that I would pull out of this discussion tonight if I only had one verse to use. I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. His sons made themselves vile. They had a personal responsibility in this. But notice what's said about Eli. He restrained them not. Verse 4 of chapter 4, in the latter part of the verse, talks about Eli. The sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. Now think about the description that we've just had of these two boys. And yet they are with the Covenant of God. In verse 11, the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. It had been said they were going to be slain. Look at verses 17 and 18. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he, Eli, fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. To me, this is one of the saddest stories that you can read about in God's Word. It's a description of a man of God who seemingly continued to be a man of God even as all these things happened. And especially pointed out in his relationship to Samuel and his rearing of Samuel, must have had some excellent qualities. He was a priest and he was a judge. But he was a failure as a parent. You know, down through the years, we've talked about PKs. And if you don't know what PKs are, that's preacher's kids. And in most congregations, especially large congregations, it's usually talked about that the preacher's kids are some of the worst kids in the congregation. And I always told them if they thought that about mine, it was because they associated with the deacon's kids. I have been concerned down through the years about my children. I realized early that they did not need to be looked at as preacher's kids. And I constantly kept before the congregation where I was preaching that my kids, my children, were just like all the children in the congregation. And luckily, down through the years, the congregations where I worked treated our children in a positive way, and I'm thankful for that. And at this point, all of my children are Christians, and all of my grandchildren, except one who's not old enough yet, are Christians. But if you look at the reality of the situation, we've had a lot of preachers' kids who didn't live like they should. A preacher that had preached before me in one of the churches that I served, one of the longest tenures that I had, was said to have made the statement from the pulpit one day when his children were smaller and there had been some problems with some other young people, that I'll tell you one thing, my kids won't ever do that. Well, that's one statement that you ought never to make. I would very easily make the statement, my kids will not do that with my approval. But you don't know what will happen to your children. They are humans just like others. And we as preachers have had a great responsibility, and I think that is a part of our responsibility to rear our families. And one of the biggest mistakes that's made by a lot of young preachers who are young fathers is that they neglect their own families in the name of doing the work of the Lord. And here again, I think I was blessed in that I learned early in life that I had a responsibility to my family. And I never apologized for taking time to be with my wife and children when that's where I needed to be. I always tried to be there for every member of the church and to do everything that I could, but I recognized that there was a responsibility that I had to my family. And it may be that sometimes we that are preachers contribute to the problem because we do not put things in proper focus and have our priorities set right. And it's not only those of us that preach, it's all of us. We need to be concerned about rearing our children, starting early enough and continuing long enough. I wish it were possible tonight to bring Eli back from the dead and let him speak to us about being a parent. That's not going to happen. But I believe that using just a little bit of common sense and observation, that we can conclude what Eli would say if he were here tonight telling us how we ought to rear the younger generation and what ought to be done. And here are five things that I think he would say. I believe, number one, he would say, teach your children the values of life. Teach them values. And I base that upon 2 and verse 12. They knew not the Lord. These boys who were serving as priests really didn't know God as they should. I suspect that he had taught them the things that they needed to know to function as priest. He probably had been concerned about their type of life on a daily basis, what they would do as a career. And yet, he evidently had not taken the time to teach them the things that were of utmost importance, the things that were values. When I look back at my parents, when you look back at yours, and even when we look at the teachers that we had at the time we were going through school, don't you think that they taught us values? They taught us honesty. They taught us integrity. They taught us how to deal with one another. Most of them taught us the value of money and how to put it in proper perspective. If I were talking to parents today, I think I would do what I believe Eli would do. I would tell them, emphasize the ideas of values. I was able to see all four of my children go to college and graduate at least 4 years. But I can honestly say to you, I had rather have a child that doesn't have a day of college education who has honesty and integrity and decency in his way of life. And I don't care how much education a person gets, and I'm for advancing as far as possible. I would encourage our young people to go on to school, especially in the day and time in which we're living, as far as they can. But having a diploma with a degree on it to put on the wall is not as important as having a heart that is filled with integrity and concern for people. Teach them values. I believe, based upon the 17th verse, that he would say, teach them to respect God and worship God. It says they knew not the Lord. We ought to start taking our babies to church to where they never remember when they started to Bible class and worship. I don't remember the first time I went to Bible class and worship. I've been going all my life, all the time I can remember. I don't have a child that can tell you by knowing when they started to Bible class and worship. We need to teach people, and I'm not just emphasizing attendance, we need to teach our children what it means to worship God. Sometimes we talk about some of our young people misbehaving in the worship services, and some will sort of slough that off and say, well, that's just being young. No, it's not. Are young people different? Yes. Should we expect them to sit in a straitjacket? No. Does it bother me if they wiggle? No. But it bothers me if they don't at least generally behave in worship, because here's what you see, and you younger ones listen to this, and older ones too. You cannot misbehave and worship God at the same time. You just can't do it. And if we will teach our children, even as they're beginning to read, to hold that songbook, and just as soon as they learn the song, to sing, and when someone is preaching from God's Word or reading, to listen, when there's a prayer, to be quiet, and teach them as early as we can to begin listening to what we're saying in prayer. I think Eli would say, teach your children to respect God and to worship him. I think the third thing he would say is, teach your children the basic principles of morality. And I base that on where it says that they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Our children are not going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and some of them are going to make bad mistakes. And we need to be willing to forgive, and we need to help them to get up when they make a mistake and make it right and go on. But a lot of the problems in life can be avoided if we do the right kind of teaching to help our young people to know as early as they're able to digest any thought that there's a difference in what's right and what's wrong, that there is a difference in the right relationship and the wrong relationship. We need to teach our children to look at every man as though he were a father, and every woman as though she were a mother, and every young man as though he were a brother, and every young woman as though she were a sister. If we could get every young man to treat his date the way he would want some other young man to treat his sister, we wouldn't have as many problems as we have. We need to teach, and sometimes, especially back in my early generation and that of many of you, we were not taught the details that sometimes we needed. I told someone the other day, I grew up so far out in the country, there were a lot of sins I didn't know existed till I left home. That may be good in one way, but it can be bad in another way. A person can fall in. If I don't know there's a pit outside the building tonight and I get up there and start around the building, I'll be in that pit before I know it's there. But if you tell me about it and warn me what can happen and show me basically where it is and that I need to be watching, I probably won't fall in it. We need to do a better job. I've heard people say in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been going to this church for 5 years, and I don't remember ever hearing a sermon on the home, on marriage, and the permanence of marriage. And I'll have young people tell me sometimes, I've never heard a sermon on some of these subjects that we know are some of the worst immoral problems that can exist. I think Eli would have said, teach them the basic principles of morality. And out of that, we've already mentioned this idea, I think he would say, teach them to respect their elders. And I'm not talking about elders in the church in the sense of office holder here, I'm talking about older people. It really bothers me sometimes to see little boys and girls have no respect for older people. We had a problem at Henderson back a few years ago. We had quite a few older people there. There was one time when we had 70 widows in the congregation. We had a tremendous number of young people. And we took the time to teach those young people, even before and after services, as you tend to run up and down the halls, watch and don't run into somebody and hurt them. And we need to teach our boys and girls to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and thank you, and please. There is still such a thing today as manners. One fellow said he knew he had a lot of them because he'd never used them. And that may be so true with us many times. I think Eli would have said, teach your young people to respect the older generation. And then I think above everything else, as indicated in that 13th verse of chapter 3 that I told you to me is perhaps the key verse, I think that Eli would have said, discipline, 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 discipline. Oh, I'm not going to spank my child. I'm afraid it'll warp their personality. I'd like to see a few other things warped occasionally. In the right way. And I hate child abuse. There is no place for child abuse. But notice what is said here. His sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. A part of parenting is restraining. That's why God made us parents. If he had wanted young people to rear themselves, he wouldn't have set up the idea of parenthood. If he'd wanted every child, well, just let him go and let him learn his own lessons and let him determine what's right and wrong, he wouldn't have set up the principles of the home and the family like he did. Perhaps sometimes we go too far with our discipline and it becomes abuse. And I'm pretty sure that if what's practiced in our day and time now had been the rule of law when I was rearing my children, that I would have been in prison. And I think I could give you 4 witnesses that would say that. But folks, we need to discipline for the right reason, under control, not out of anger. And sometimes it may be talking. Sometimes it may involve other things. Sometimes you have to get a person's attention before you can talk. But whatever is involved, and however careful we need to be not to go beyond reason or beyond the law of the land, we've got to get back to discipline in our homes. And for that matter, as we studied this morning, Terry, in the church. And perhaps the greatest, most important discipline, type of discipline, is self-discipline. And that's really what parents are trying to do, is to rear their children to where their children will have self-discipline. You know, we'll ask them sometimes, what are you doing when dad and mother's not there? That's self-discipline that is taught by the discipline of the parents to prepare them to make the right kind of decisions when dad and mother are not there. And so I would say to you tonight that I believe if Eli could parent again, or could tell us what he thought we need to do, he'd say, teach values, teach respect for God and worship to Him, teach the basic principles of morality, teach respect for those that are older, and practice the right kind of discipline. Eli cannot parent again. There are a few of you here tonight who can, because you're in the process of rearing your children. And all of us tonight can support our own children and others as they are rearing the younger generation. And these are the basic principles that I think need to be applied in rearing children. You know, basically what we've talked about tonight is just good common sense. And that'll go a long way. I saw a statement the other day, I heard a statement, that I'm going to use in developing a sermon. And the statement was simply, don't outlearn your common sense. And I think what was meant by that is, no matter how much education you get, formally speaking or otherwise, don't ever outlearn your common sense. It'll go a long way in these principles. We've been talking about the home tonight, the family, and the church is the family of God. These same principles, in a sense, apply in our relationship to God. That's what He wants us to do, to live with respect and decency and integrity and honesty and obedience, which we haven't really gotten into much tonight in the home. If you've not obeyed God to become a Christian, have been baptized in Him to be a child of God, or as a Christian, you need to ask for forgiveness in a public way.